Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, 7:20 on the morning show. We welcome in a friend of the show and state treasurer, more importantly, Sean Wooden. Mr. Treasurer, good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good morning. Great to be back with you guys.
How are you keeping the boys entertained? You know, the boys have become rock stars from the Chet commercials. You know, how are you keeping the rock stars entertained?
They've got like some online summer program, and they've been amazing. Yeah, I thought they'd go crazy during the end of the school year.
Oh.
But they're doing well, and all of the technology really helps.
Are they looking forward to going back to school if that comes to pass?
Yes.
Okay.
Without question.
I'm looking forward to it too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think everybody's looking forward to kind of going back to something that looks and feels normal.
Normal.
So they're looking forward to it, but right. You know, we got to make sure it's safe. So.
I know.
Before we get to finances, let's talk about the special session today, Sean, because you have been outspoken on the police accountability bill. Obviously, the amendment caused a great deal of debate in the House special session last week. What are your thoughts on the bill in general, and also the Republican amendment?
The bill in general, I think, is a very, very good bill. And it incorporates lots of concepts that have been studied and considered, applied elsewhere. And it's a very good bill in three respects. It increases training. And so we're investing in law enforcement and making, you know, good officers better and trying to have more officers perform their duties well. It invests in transparency, and transparency builds trust. And right now we have a breakdown in trust among certain segments of our community and policing. And so training, transparency, and the last piece, which is absolutely critical, is greater accountability in policing and law enforcement. And that brings us to your question about the Republican amendment that failed within the House. There were hours and hours upon hearings on the bill. Based on those hearings, the provision dealing with qualified immunity was actually modified in listening to law enforcement. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about what it does, and this removes qualified immunity. It doesn't. It actually better aligns the qualified immunity provision with our federal law on qualified immunity, and it makes it for good officers performing their jobs out there, even good officers who make mistakes, this will not impact them. This will, however, impact bad officers, rogue officers, who knowingly, right, and the language is, if they objectively have a good faith belief that his or her conduct did not violate the law, if that existed, then they can use the defense of qualified immunity. If they objectively really believe that they didn't violate the law at the time, right, that's a pretty high bar, right? So you have to be an officer that knowingly is violating the law while you are perhaps killing someone. And that's a high standard. And so there's a great article by Ken Dixon today in the Middletown Press that gives the best comprehensive discussion of this issue, because, you know, and the takeaway is that, you know, it's overblown. The issue, the bill as originally drafted, understand the sensitivities around it. There were modifications made before the bill was called for a vote in the House, and the Republicans still sought to remove that entire provision, which would have taken some of the teeth out of the accountability portion of the bill. And so I think this bill is a huge step forward in terms of making policing better in our state. And the other important thing that it's important to say, particularly in light of the debate, is that some have tried to make this a litmus test on whether or not you support the police. It's absolutely not. I support the police and law enforcement. I've worked closely with them, whether as city council president in Hartford or as a victim of a family member of a victim of gun violence. And they were tremendous in their cooperation, their diligence, both in terms of the detectives as well as the prosecutors. So I have a deep, profound respect for the work that they do every day. But that does not mean that bad officers should not be held accountable. That does not mean that we don't need to change the culture of policing and enhance training. This bill provides a lot to do that.
Hey, let me ask you a question, just kind of related to that, and then we've got to get on to finance and stuff, because actually with this, there is finance involved. You knew John Lewis, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So how did you meet him as a Trinity guy?
I met him. He was coming to Hartford, and I was asked to bring him to my church, and so went to my church and did a whole thing at the church, and then I hosted him at my home for the afternoon, and he met my family and 100 other guests that came later. And he was just a remarkable man, and that started our relationship. And, you know, and I got to spend time with him at the end of the day, just one-on-one, but powerful. Talk about a true American patriot. And the thing that struck me about his life is that the consistency with which he fought for social justice. And, you know, he wanted to make our country more equal and better. And whether he was a student activist as part of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and led it, when he spoke at the March on Washington, he was 23 years old when he stood there at the same place Dr. King gave the I Have a Dream speech on the same day. He was there. And whether it was in his last year or last years in Congress, still talking about love, what we call the beloved community, still talking about, you know, fighting the good fight and getting into good trouble. He was an amazing man. And the last thing I'll say about him is that he was very humble. And, you know, for someone with such a rich history and a powerful voice, they called him the conscience of the Congress, and for good reason. He's one of the most humble people you would ever meet, and just exuded kind of love for everyone. So it was quite fortunate to get to know him and to engage with him over the years since then. That was 2012, I believe, when we first met.
Great loss for all of us. Sean, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank
we appreciate
much.
It. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take all care. Right.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.